Last year, the South African government won a major legal victory. 39 of the world's largest drug makers dropped a lawsuit that would have blocked the government from importing cheaper generic drugs. But drugs for fighting AIDS are still not widely available to the 5 million South Africans who need them. AIDS activists in South Africa recently sued their government to provide anti-AIDS medications to all HIV-positive pregnant women, and they won. South Africa is appealing that decision. NPR's Brenda Wilson reports now from Johannesburg.
Jimmy Volmink measures his words carefully when asked to explain why the South African government has dragged its feet in providing anti-AIDS drugs for people with HIV, defying the advice of AIDS researchers like himself. The strangest part of it, he says, is President Thabo Mbeki's attitude.
If you think it's difficult to understand from outside, I just want you to know that from inside the country, people are equally perplexed.
President Mbeki has never actually said that HIV does not cause AIDS. In interview after interview, however, he has attributed the current AIDS epidemic in South Africa to a host of factors, including poverty, as he told the BBC's Tim Sebastian.
What I've said about it is this. It is that you have here an acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Now, a syndrome is a collection of diseases whose causes are known. You can't say one virus causes a syndrome.
No, but you it's can illogical. Say that what do all these, what is the common factor?
But what you
what
can
do
say,
they all have?
What you can say, which is what I've said, is that you have a virus which causes immune deficiency. But immune deficiency is also caused by other things.
Volmink now works as a research analyst for global health policy in Washington, D.C., but spent the last 8 years in South Africa as an epidemiologist investigating emerging diseases, including AIDS.
Certainly people have found it very hard to explain the position taken up by our president, Thabo Mbeki, in questioning the antiretroviral treatments, but also his flirtation, I think, with people who have questioned whether HIV is the cause of AIDS, given the fact that for more than 20 years now, people have done extensive research which has shown a very clear link between HIV and AIDS, and also that antiretroviral treatment would certainly be of great benefit.
According to South Africa's own Medical Research Council, the country has the world's worst AIDS epidemic. A tenth of its population is infected, and it's the leading cause of death among young adults. And theories abound about why this country, which is certainly not the poorest in the world, has been reluctant to provide anti-AIDS drugs. Other priorities, such as the larger economy, providing housing for millions, or simply, Volmink says, the sheer cost of treating millions.
In the face of such an enormous problem, one response of government might be to just go into frank denial. Let's face it, there is no other country with a problem of this enormity in terms of HIV/AIDS anywhere in the world.
But even when researchers, including Volmink, tried to help South Africa come up with a treatment strategy to take advantage of the lower drug prices and donations being offered in the wake of the battle with the giant pharmaceutical firms, there was always Mbeki's looming presence.
We spoke to people in the Ministry of Health who shared our view that the country needed a general national policy on providing antiretrovirals. They found it very difficult to say what they said to us in public or in print of any form.
One recommendation was they start by expanding an existent government pilot study of the anti-AIDS drug nevirapine that manufacturers had offered to donate for free for 5 years. Studies indicate that South Africa could reduce by at least a third the 70,000 infants born each year with their mother's infections.
She didn't have any diarrhea or any vomiting on admission.
That's right.
But then yesterday she started having diarrhea also.
Oh, okay. Dr. Sundi Nati and Dr. Ashraf Kuvaria hover over the crib of a four-month-old who has been admitted to Coronation Hospital's pediatric ward.
She seems still distressed on oxygen, and she still has the diarrhea, but then she doesn't look quite dehydrated.
Yes, not dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get the feeling she's less distressed than yesterday?
Gavadia is part of Save Our Babies, a group of over 150 doctors who joined a group of AIDS activists called the Treatment Action Campaign and suing the government to provide treatment at all public clinics for pregnant women who are infected with HIV. Gavadia had seen too many infants like this one, struggling to breathe through an oxygen mask.
This is a typical age when children that are developing HIV present for the very first time. It's between 2 to 4 months with a severe pneumonia, which is an opportunistic infection. And they don't have to have clinical signs of being infected, apart from presenting in this fashion with a deadly pneumonia.
At this small hospital just outside Johannesburg, 62 children have died in the last 6 months from complications related to AIDS. Recently, South Africa's High Court sided with Dr. Gavadia and the AIDS activists and ordered the government to implement a national program to treat all HIV-positive pregnant women. South Africa's Ministry of Health is appealing the High Court's decision on constitutional grounds, saying the judicial branch doesn't have the authority to tell the executive branch how to implement legislation that calls for mothers and children under six to receive free health care.
It's been rather frustrating. It's been frustrating. It's been tiring.
Some doctors in some provinces have used research grants, private foundations, and their own health budgets to expand these programs. Such is the curious nature of South African politics. Directors of provincial health departments, nearly all of whom belong to the ruling party, the African National Congress, still tacitly support the policies of President Mbeki's government, which has not approved nevirapine for HIV-positive pregnant women outside of the pilot study. Gavadia gives health directors credit for what they've done.
But at the end of the day, it's usually governments that fund these programs. And if government isn't 100% behind a program, or in fact, if they're diametrically opposed to a program, then you can imagine that politics is then actually obstructing the delivery of a program rather than enhancing it.
It's not an approach that says that we're appealing and we are not prepared to do anything until that appeal is heard.
Dr. Ayanda Insaluba is the Director General for Health, who has the unenviable task of explaining the South African government's treatment policy.
We're taking an approach that says we are appealing because there are these legal constitutional issues we want to deal with, but we're conscious of the fact that we need to be moving faster with greater speed.
He says the national government didn't impose the policy on mother-to-child transmission on provincial directors. They agreed to it. And that it is wrong to think that the central government or President Mbeki is riding roughshod over everybody in South Africa.
We suddenly have a dominant view that says a government, which is only 7 years old, which is a government comprised of people who obviously have done so much in their lives in order to take South Africa to where it is, that those same individuals would, within a short space of 7 years, now willy-nilly want to throw everything away and suddenly behave as sometimes people are accused of genocidal tendencies. It really is a very difficult thing for me to accept.
While South Africa wrangles over whether to expand a program to prevent the transmission of HIV from mother to child, the prospect of others, including those same mothers, getting the life-prolonging combinations of anti-AIDS drugs is even further off. South Africa's AIDS treatment policy has gotten caught up in a major political question, now confronting a country that overcame centuries of struggle to achieve democracy. Whether the political forces in the country will let one man have the power over life and death. Brenda Wilson, NPR News, Johannesburg.